You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. As always, if you haven't already, be sure to rate, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you're listening to this episode from. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at theplug.podcast. Last week, I was joined by one Australian legend in Midnight Oil frontman Peter Garrett. This week, I am joined by another Australian legend of the dance persuasion. This man possibly now has the record for the most times joining me on The Plug Podcast. I am so excited to be joined yet again by Nick Littlemore of Aussie dance legends Pinyao. Pinyao are finally back with their first album in over 6 years. It is called Hyperbolic and it is out right now. Give it a spin as soon as you are done listening to this episode with Nick. The last time we did this podcast was in late 2022. We were both living in New York City doing this over Zoom. This time, he's in LA, I'm in Sydney. We jumped on Zoom to talk all about the album, how it came together, and the long process that it took. Obviously, their last album, Chenga, was released in 2017 and had hit songs like Chameleon and Go Bang. They have been on a whirlwind since on the back of the Elton John remix of Cold Heart. This album is filled with more hits. So as well as talking about everything that's happened in that time frame between 2022 and now, we discuss some of the legends that Pinyao have been working with, and one in particular that hasn't gone through yet but may still be in the works. And for people who heard that last episode, the amount of shares and reposts that the Empire of the Sun specific talk got online was insane. And yes, I'm sure you've seen the teasers online. Nick tells me what's happening with Empire of the Sun and what's to come. So let's get straight into it. Here is my chat with Pinyao's Nick Littlemore on The Plug Podcast. But dude, it's so good to talk to you. I think the last time we spoke properly, we were both sitting in our respective Midtown apartments in New York City.
That sounds about right.
How's everything going since November 2022?
We found a vaccine, as you know, so that was good. And since then, it's been better. But there's a lot of problems and sadness in the world, and that's not going away anytime soon. That's something that we at Pinyao headquarters, you know, we always want to put out a positive, uplifting, loving message musically. And, you know, it's the world continually needs it because the world continually is faced with all kinds of challenges.
I'm going to work back from that 2022 chat just because I listened back to it and there was just a lot of cool stuff we spoke about in there. So just going back to that interview with this new album, where was that in the works in November 2022, or were you much more settled in the releasing a new single every now and then just for the means of getting new music out into the world?
I can say up until now in my career, we've always been focused on making bodies of work. That's just the way we came through. So it's always been album focused. This album took a lot longer than we would have liked because the record industry really shifted so much in that process to the point where it was we couldn't seem to seemingly get an album away. I think we've put something like 9 singles out of on this album. Which is a nutty amount of singles. And it used to be 3, and then some records were 5, and then they would waterfall on singles, and maybe it could become 6 or 7, but now it's 9. I mean, what's that?
It is weird, because, you know, I consider myself a Pinyao fanboy. Do you guys have a VIP fan club? Because if not, I'll start it. You know, some of the tracks on this album, like, thinking of Solid Gold, like, I think you and I had a chat about that song at Falls Festival 2019. I think Oliver actually was on tour with you guys at that time.
Yeah, it was many moons ago. And I like to do records, you know, fairly quickly. I'm not saying like, Pinero's always been about a few years in between albums, but I would like to do them quickly, you know. Yeah. And we're hoping that this next one we can roll a bit quicker than whatever this has been, 7 years or something. But I think it reflects better the everything. Like, you know, it's a snapshot. Snapshot of 7 years is going to be blurry by the nature of it, whereas, you know, a snapshot of 6 months, you can really get a picture of something.
It's funny you mentioned the way the record label industry works now, because you're probably one of few artists, Pinero, I mean, that you obviously have had a massive successful career, you know, with the standard way of doing things. You know, you release a single, you hope it gets on the radio, you grind through that. But then the world of TikTok now, where you need a single to hit on TikTok. Obviously, you guys had that with Cold Heart. Do you like the way the industry works now in that capacity? As far as, you know, you just said there, you would like to release now much quicker, but maybe that part is out of your hands. Do you like the idea that, hey, we need a hit single on TikTok? Fuck the radio. Let's get something going on socials.
I mean, you know, the socials thing is it's, you're right. It wasn't there at the inception of when we started making this stuff, and it's come along, and it's something you can't ignore, because it's such a huge part of the way the world seems to consume all kinds of information now. Mm. But also the TikTok thing's weird because I'm a Universal writer, so none of my music is on TikTok anymore.
Sure.
So as of right now, this huge thing, which has been the driving force of the business, is 80% of artists are somehow connected to Universal Music, because even if just one writer from Universal is a part of a record, they have to pull the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty weird.
Is there any dialogue between label and artist? Like, do you get to, if you wanted to, do you get to pick up the phone and say, no, I would very much like my music to be available there, please?
I would imagine that some of the artists who are, you know, really up the very tippy top, as we say, maybe having some conversations, but we're not in that stratosphere. And I just think it's interesting. I don't think necessarily it's good nor bad that we're on or off it, but the internet has, you know, people say it's the Wild West, it's this and that. It does represent the future, and it is a kind of a web like the world's never seen before, but the way it's all interconnected. And I think streaming kind of reflects that, and just social media in general, what's popular at any one moment. So I think it's pretty interesting to see what, obviously this is not the final moment. Something's going to shift.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you just said there actually is really interesting. It reminds me of, have you seen that video of David Bowie talking about what he thinks the internet will do? And this was really at the inception of the internet and people didn't know what it was. And he said, it will be the best and worst thing to happen in humanity. It is going to, the user and the internet are going to be in simpatico. And I think that interview was like 1997, 98. And everything he said has turned out to be true.
Yeah. He saw it all coming, didn't he? It's wild. I mean, I do wonder though what he would say now, because AI was just a theory really until, come on, let's be real. Like, it's been about a year and change. Since ChatGPT, people logged on and went, oh, this is pretty crazy. And then the images, and then if you've seen some of the music-generated ones, now they're just crazy. So I would be very interested to know what someone or you know, Nostradamus or one of these people that could never have dreamed of what we're facing now, what's the next 500 years looks like.
I mean, I know you want to get albums out quicker than, you know, once every 6 years, but I kind of like what Pinero have done, you know, like going back to Cold Heart and that doing what it did. And I remember we spoke right after Cold Heart came out and you kind of hinted, you know, we are getting a lot more phone calls about collaborations. I've got to assume the Khalids, the Troye Sivans were the people that you were talking about then.
Well, we at that time we were talking to Stevie Wonder's people, and sort of didn't end up going ahead, but it might in the future, whatever. But you know, it's music business is an really interesting place, and once something shifts and or the perspective of what you do shifts, suddenly, yeah, this flood of new people can come into the room, and things we never even considered start becoming a conversation, if nothing else, you know. And those things lead somewhere, if not everywhere.
Are you allowed to talk about the Stevie Wonder thing? Because that is wild.
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't end up coming together yet. And there's a few other like high profile-y things sort of around, but you know, I mean, I'll be frank, if anything's come together, I'll let you know.
Good. Give me a call, please. No, but what I was going to say before is, and I know that obviously you would like to get albums out quicker, but I kind of like this process of the last, this is essentially, this album is more or less a snapshot of what has happened in the last 6 years. I mean, going back to Chenga, like you had these songs blow up in Australia, the Go Bangs and the Chameleons. And then from there you went to Cold Heart. And then from Cold Heart, you have some of these massive songs coming out in the last few years. It's almost like this album is a reflection of what's happened since 2017, as far as these, the Go Bangs, Chameleons blowing up, the Cold Heart going nuts globally. And this is what's happened in that period of time. I kind of like that. It's kind of like a story between a specific time frame.
Yeah, I can see that. It is unlike any other record, I think, if you could play it sort of like chronologically, you could see the records that came. And then that shift, you know, that seismic shift being Cold Heart, and then how the fallout of that's been the access that's been granted for us to reach all these megastars. And it's, it, yeah, and to a certain extent, we've been kind of a kid in a candy store, like working with anyone and everyone that would do it with us. And it's been, you know, it's been thrilling. But I'm interested to see our next journey, like creatively, after, you know, the initial excitement of just doing, you know, trading in a different space.
Sure.
But I want to now try and reflect on that reflection.
Does Sam and Peter have the same feelings that you do about this isn't necessarily how you wanted things to roll out? You did want to release it quicker, but just, you know, life gets in the way, right?
Yeah, it's not usually up to the artist, that kind of thing anyway.
Sure.
So you do your best work. And I think what I don't love is that now that streaming is such a big thing, the album track, which is the deep cut, which is the long player, which is the dark and long, which is those records that actually are amazing on a Saturday night. They might not be, you know, at 7 a.m. on drive time radio, but they make up the picture of a lot of great acts that I love. And we're losing the art. And I don't want to lose the art. Like, I think we're doing an interesting thing with Empire. We're sort of trying out some different approaches to sharing music that's not only going to be radio-based, but I think there's things that you can do that, you know, aren't just everything trying to be a single. What ends up happening is it devalues the single, for one. And I just don't think we should all be going for the same goals. Like, go for art, because that can mean anything.
And, I mean, that's really interesting as well, that, and you've had a long track record of this. Like, yes, you personally and with Panel or even Empire have worked with massive artists, the Elton Johns or the Khalids or even the Troye Sivans now. But you've always had a massive point to work with young and up and coming artists. You've worked with Emily Waramara. You did something with Bajira recently. Does the idea that once you've hit this level, say when Cold Heart blows up and does what it does, that now Panel are in this superstardom category, you can only work with big names now. Does that piss you off, that idea?
I just don't think it's a true reflection of where an artist should be. I think we gave into that a little bit on this record, because we did get a flurry of all these great people that we could work with. And I think we navigated pretty cool, because I think the songs are really special. And I wanted to honor the process. And it was fun to have some of the voices on the finals. Like, Emily is just a superstar. I love her so much. But we have two songwriters singing two of the songs who don't appear on records and don't particularly like to appear on records, but they agreed to. And I love that because you've captured the song on the day it was written. There's something about that. I do believe that there is something very magical and inexplicable about the process of creation, or any kind of creation, I think, is there is something hidden about it, even if you're doing it right in front of someone else or whatever. Like there's just something happens in the process of something special that's being created that can't quite be explained. And I love that. And I think we've captured that on some of these songs, you know, from a different perspective. Because you don't normally, when you're using guests and things like that, it's after the fact, you know.
So when you say, you know, you might have given in a little bit to working with the big names on this album and the idea of not just releasing a single, it kind of, you know, ruins the art form. Is it fair to say that potential next projects with Pinnell, you kind of want to go back to the roots, you know? Because I imagine it is tough with every song, every album you release. You're, you know, let's be honest, you're successful, you're big, you're one of Australia's biggest dance acts. There is that pressure, as opposed to thinking back 20 years ago when no one knows who you are and releasing a song or album, it's kind of new and exciting because you don't know what people will or how they'll receive your art.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel that we particularly sense any pressure about sort of trying to live up to anything. We love making music with just a myriad of different people. I think that you have to be even-handed with, you know, at any point in your career where you should be working with people who are coming up and other people who are at different stages. They can be above you and that can challenge your ego in a good way. And also young people who sometimes can have a lot more front and can be sort of upstarts and all that, that's also good for your ego. I think you should always be challenging that and your place in the writing room and all the rest of it. I think it's thrilling and it's good. It just sharpens the tool, you know, to be working with a myriad of people from all walks of life. I also try and convince people fairly regularly who have never written a song to, like, you know, just come in. Let's just try. People who like music would be a good start, but that can be kind of an exciting process. Sometimes it gets derailed. It probably often does, but, you know, it's any idea is valid, I think, and you can try anything with anyone if you approach it in the right way. I think I like to make music with someone else, I think.
Yeah.
Not everyone needs that, but for me, I don't know, it's a huge part of it.
Yeah. I mean, this is the part of the podcast where we do the dedicated talk about Empire of the Sun, because the last podcast we did, the amount of people that cut up the parts about Empire and put it online were insane. So I apologize in advance for the questions I ask, because I know that people are very adamant about this. First of all, AEIOU, congratulations. I know it's a belated congratulations. That is such a fucking good song, man. Number one. Like, it was, I was still in New York when that came out. That was massive here and massive in the US. I guess on that song in particular, was that always going to be a Pinnell song? Was that potentially going to be on a TBC Empire record?
It was always going to be on both, I think. I mean, okay. It started out as a Pinnell demo when we first wrote it, but it was very evident that it just felt like no one could carry that other than Luke, and then it needed, obviously, his creative input to really bring it over.
And I know a little birdie's told me that you have been working on something with Empire in ye olde Thailand. Are you allowed to talk about that yet?
I mean, yeah, we have just been doing something super, super cool over there, like a big kind of film project. I don't know exactly how much I'm supposed to talk about it either, but it's really, really exciting, and we have a stack of new music coming very soon. And very soon doesn't mean some vague next 5 years. Like, it's coming very soon.
Yeah, I mean, I was annoyingly in New York still when Luke did the Empire tour in Australia, and the response to that was huge. I think it sold out the next day. It's crazy how long the gap has been between Two Vines and now, and people still can't get enough of Empire of the Sun. Does that surprise you at all?
I mean, it's just it's a beautiful thing. What do you want me to say about it? It makes me so happy that people, younger people, are checking it out. And it reminds me of when I was growing up, and it seemed like every new batch of 15-year-olds would go through, not every batch, but there would always be a contingent who would love Led Zeppelin or love Hendrix and kind of go through that retro psych rock thing and all that. And to think that we could be one of those sort of rites of passage bands for a sector of the high school year. I don't know what kids are, probably the coolest ones, I guess. but you know, that's it's a beautiful thing to think that a new generation that weren't, well, they're alive possibly, but they certainly weren't listening to music when you wrote it and you had thought who you were writing it for, that it could be a new generation. I don't know, that's one of the coolest things ever, I think.
So when you say things are coming soon, is the hope that there is a collection of songs? Is it an album? Is it an EP? Is it now in the label's hands where you don't really get to say what happens from here?
Well, I mean, Empire is always quite a mysterious and magical entity. And I think, you know, if you speak too much of it, does it take away from that magic? All I would say is that, to quote Empire TV, like, stay tuned, you know.
Okay. That's very exciting, man. Something else that, I mean, last time we spoke, you were a father expecting. Congratulations, man. Yeah. How has parenthood been the last year?
She's a joy. It's been really magical. Yeah, it's been great. I mean, obviously, the man is not as busy the dad is not as busy as the mom,
of course.
Generally speaking, or at least in this household, I do what I can, but I'm you know, I can't take much credit for it.
Are you finding the traveling time has probably been cut down a bit now that you have a baby at home?
Yeah, we're trying to avoid any movement or like at least doing it just around family stuff. But I have had to do some travel, like going to Thailand recently and doing the filming. And yeah, there's a few other bits of travel having to happen. And that's just sort of par for the course for what I do, you know. But yeah, it won't be like big trips to Japan and Italy and all that sort of stuff for a while. But
yeah. So you're primarily based in LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, probably going to move back to New York in the next year or so, year or two.
Properly move back, you mean, or just stay back in New York for a little bit?
I think maybe that, yeah, properly move back.
Yeah.
We've done LA for a long time and it is a very interesting city, but it does have a certain isolating feeling to it that New York doesn't have.
I have that feeling as well that I want to go back to New York. I could move back tomorrow.
Yeah. New York has something pretty great about it.
Yeah. One other project that I've heard that you're potentially working on, which blew my mind when I heard it, was Danny Emerson from Underworld. For casual listeners or casual dance fans, you know, Born Slippy, the song from the iconic Trainspotting film. Number one, is this true? And number two, what is it all about?
Darren Emerson and I have been working on this thing since we first met, which is, you know, it was a long time ago. And what we were going for is a true Balearic record, and we really collided on just loving music. And Darren has a huge a kind of perfect knowledge of so many records and genres and things like that. So when we get together, we listen to a stack of things, and we've made a bunch of records over the years and really put nothing out, which has been super weird.
You have a weird knack, though, for teaming up with artists, whether established or new, and say, hey, fuck it, let's create a group and let's release an EP. You know, like Blossom, for example. You got together, said, let's put some songs out, and we'll call it Blossom.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just think you should just do more things. I'm all about it. I think everyone should. I can't say that and not do it. Darren, we're very close to putting that out. And I have done a similar thing on not as many songs, but I have a 5-song EP with Steve Kilby of The Church.
Which
I want to put out as well. I got to get organized, you know.
Are they the only artists that you've worked with where you have a collection of songs that is tentatively ready to go, but it's just you haven't got a release date yet?
No, there's Kira has an EP coming out, which is her solo EP, which is kind of a reflection of, it's as though we started a band after Solar Gold, basically. And it was her and myself and Marquise and Peter and some of the best disco musicians who are all, you know, in their late 60s now, but still just grooving incredibly. So that's super fun. That's super cool. There are some other that is coming out. I don't know if it's actually scheduled, but it will be coming out quite soon.
Here is such a good addition to what you guys do. And again, I was lucky enough to see you guys in New York, and I've seen the Panera live show a bunch of times, but New York felt very much like almost like a Boiler Room live set. And she's so talented. And with what you guys do, she's just such a X factor in that group too.
Yeah, Kira's changed a lot of things, the way the Panyar dynamic works. Like, she's a really magical performer, and such a privilege to have her work with us.
I know that, you know, you've just said you're not going to travel too much, but with a Panyar album out, with a potential Empire record coming out as well, do you have plans this year to tour? Are you going to be doing festival dates, or is it going to be kind of a little bit more low-key?
It's hard to say. I really want to make a lot of records this year. I'm just setting up a new studio in a building in Burbank that is run by Chromeo. And there's a bunch of other like super producers in there. Kylie was in there the other day. It's I think I found like super cool spot. So I'm excited to make a bunch of records. Pinyal's been working with superstar singer from Sweden, and we've just hit it off so well and made some really special music. There's a lot of really exciting things, and we do feel the coming tide of AI, and we want to battle it out, you know, and bring out a lot of good records and see if we can't better the algorithm. Because I think, you know, I'm not hearing anything in the AI world that is better than what people are able to write, but I'm very interested to watch that and see, just be aware of everything.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for coming on, man. I'm so excited for everyone to hear this album and hopefully see you in the country to play some dates.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure at some point later in the year.
Nick, thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Neil.
To watch full episodes of The Plug Podcast, head over to the official YouTube page at theplug.podcast and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date with all of the video content. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at theplug.podcast for all episode announces, teasers, and giveaways.